Live now.
Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Beattie. And yeah, welcome once again to a special episode of the best political podcast in the country. And today, indeed, the world maybe.
indeed. Today is the 8th of April, 2017. And we have a guest with us in studio today. He is the ZANPF UK branch chairperson, Mr. Nick Mangwana. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. I prefer comrade.
Comrade.
I was about to say, don't they prefer their comrades there in ZANU-PF?
Don't worry, we are comrade. Maybe Chris is trying to be neutral, if he is neutral at all, but let's go.
But can I also be comrade so that you don't co-opt the word for your party?
No, actually, comrade is a brand, so you really, really have to buy into it. If you end the stripes, yes, we can call you comrade.
What does one have to do to end the stripes?
Let me speak in our revolutionary abstract. One has to be a revolutionary. That's it.
But I'm being revolutionary to against the revolutionaries. So does that not make me
counter revolutionaries are not comrades?
But surely maybe if I espouse the socialist values, whence the word originated from, perhaps I'm a true comrade.
No. You know, definitions are contextual, so we can't append or associate it with socialism per se. As you know, that the word comrade itself means either a friend or a member of a fraternity. So if you are a member of ZANU-PF fraternity, then you are a comrade or our ZANU-PF fraternity.
But what if I'm a member of the Zimbabwean fraternity?
Ah, so all Zimbabweans are comrades? You are a compatriot. You are a compatriot, you're not a comrade. You have to be a member of my fraternity, my brother.
No.
Okay, let's...
Let's go.
Comrade Mangwana, you are, as I said, the chairperson of the ZANPF UK branch. I think just to give us more background on yourself, what is it that you do and how is it that you came to be part of ZANPF?
Long story, but I will try to summarize it. I'm the ZANPF representative in Europe. I'm based in the UK. We expanded from Europe from the UK to Europe. So what I do is represent the party interests in the European shows. I'm also part of the team that's building ZANU-PF structures in the diaspora. That's what I do. I represent party interests. I give the party perspective where it's needed. As you know, in the last 17 or so years, our party and government has been enduring a lot of bashing in the media. There is only so much an embassy can do within the ambit of diplomatic courtesy. So, but there's a lot that we can do as a part, which is not bound by diplomatic courtesy or protocol. So that's what we are. We represent the party of government. By so doing, we also, you know, we tell the Zimbabwean story in our own words. We tell the ZANU-PF story in our own words. That's what we do.
Okay, how big is the ZANPF branch out there in the diaspora?
It's big, quite big. I'm not going to go into numbers, obviously, for obvious reasons, because it's party database, party information, as you know. But we are quite big. We have representatives and or representative structures or chapters in about 6 countries in Europe. Yeah. We intend, when we identify Zimbabweans in another country in Europe, we shall surely build structures in those countries as well.
You're building structures with the hope of making ZANU-PF diaspora or ZANU-PF Europe into a province in of itself, as a normal province, as like Mashonaland or Mash East or any of these other provinces for purposes of the Congress. Is that correct?
Yes and no. Let me start with a yes. the yes, in the sense that we are building ZANU-PF outside Europe, or sorry, outside Zimbabwe, external structures for the reason that a Zimbabwean remains a Zimbabwean where he is, wherever he is, remains engaged in the issues at home, remains very much attuned to what's going on, and he has a lot to contribute to the discourse, has a lot to contribute to the economy, has a lot to contribute to the progress and development of the country. So if they need a political platform through which they to do that, that's where we are as ZANU-PF. Every party, almost every party of substance, which is in Zimbabwe, because there are quite too many of them anyway, but every party of substance has got representatives everywhere where the Zimbabweans are. So now, where I said no was, you said you mentioned Europe. No, the diaspora party is actually covering all diaspora, including China. We are in the midst of building a structure in China. Actually, we've got about 1,000 members that are there, Zimbabweans. So, like I said before,
a thousand Zimbabweans or 1,000 members of the ZANU-PF in China.
1,000 Zimbabweans who are very much resonant with the ZANU-PF philosophy and way of thinking. So that's why we are in touch with them. We are in a group. We are in a grouping with them. That's why we hope they will all take up our cards and become ZANU-PF members. So now, in terms of the external, the philosophy again is, you know, the African Union identified the diaspora as the fifth region of Africa. So Africa has got its regions, but there's one sixth region, which is the diaspora. Now, we also, by the same philosophy, we identified the diaspora as the 11th province of Zimbabwe. So all Zimbabweans are in here, in some province of some sort, whether it's a metropolitan province like Harare or Bulawayo, or in the other province, Mashingo, you name it, Mash West, Mash Central, Mash North, Mash South, whatever. But there are also Zimbabweans who are outside the country. Now, Zimbabweans admin structure is according to province. So where do these Zimbabweans who are outside the country fit in? They fit in a province of their own. So when we talk of the 11th province, we're not only talking of ZANU-PF, we're actually talking of the country. The diaspora, the philosophy is the diaspora is the 11th province of Zimbabwe. Now, obviously, go on.
No, I'm not to cut you off. I was just
you just did.
I was just going back to reverting back to the initial question. I understand that the country and the diaspora is the 11th province, but I'm asking in terms of your work, your building structures, is this for the making of a province for ZANU-PF? Are you structure building in the same way as if I was going to Chindambuya? I would start at cell level and at ward level so that eventually I can build my provincial chairperson and things like that.
Yes, I would say in a qualified yes, in the sense that we don't build cells, we start from branch, particularly because of the sparse way in which Zimbabweans are located outside the country. The cell concept came from a village, that's where it starts from, or from then from a location, from street. So when if you are in Mbare, you build cells according to the street, from that street to that street. So because all these people are Zimbabweans, all these people qualify, so you go to them. But when you are in a diasporan setup, people are scattered around. So you would find that in a place, you might have, say in the United Kingdom, in Newcastle, you probably will have, I will just hazard a figure, so you probably have 300 Zimbabweans. Are you going to call that a cell? Then if you are calling that a cell, how are you going to build the branch? So we agreed with the party that when it comes to the diaspora, the model is slightly different, taking cognizant of the context in which people operate.
Okay, so but how Congress, many members do you need to have at branch level before you can say you have a province?
We do not need... Basically, our conversation with the party is not so much about how many members do we need so that we can be a province. The conversation is based on principle. The principle is that everyone in the diaspora is 11th province, which is where you drew me away from the concept, because I wanted to start with the principle, then we come to the microcosm of ZANU-PF. Now, once you are grasped the principle that wherever Zimbabweans are, they are part of this big province, which is scattered all around, called the 11th province. Now, when it comes to ZANU-PF, what it does now is to capture those people and structure them whichever the way, whichever way it deems fit to that context. So, at the end of the day, wherever they are, these people, they will have a vote. Now, we're coming back to the Congress, which you mentioned. They will have a vote in ZANU-PF's internal processes as a province. It's very difficult to... I want you to remove yourself from our local context, because it doesn't work. It doesn't work because when the Constitution says the province should meet every month, you cannot have the whole diaspora meeting every month. It's impossible as a province. How do they do that? There are people in China. There are people in South Africa. There are people in Malaysia. There are people in Singapore. There are people in India. How do we meet as a province? We don't. It's not.
We're meeting right now across the world from you, but we're having a conversation. So yes, perhaps, you know, you can find creative solutions.
Exactly. So we'll do that.
And let me let you finish before I go on to my next.
Now go to your next question. If this one, unless this one is not answered, but if this one is not answered, pin me down again.
I'm sure you can see where this is going, because you said that your Congress will have a vote in internal ZANU-PF politics. But what's the point of having that if they can't vote in the diaspora, in the Zimbabwean national election? Is what's the point of having a ZANU-PF outside the country? What's the point of having all these structures when they don't have a vote in their national elections? What's the point of giving someone the choice of choosing a party president when they can't choose a national president? How do you reconcile yourself with that, you know, that oxymoron, that contradiction in your belief that Zimbabweans are in diaspora and 11th province, but the same government and the same party that you serve refuses to acknowledge their at least in my idea, right to vote?
Hey, that's a very long question.
In the national elections.
That's a very long question. It's not a speech. Okay, I think I got the gist. I will answer.
The point is,
I know. Don't worry about me. I will answer. The point I mentioned is that Zimbabweans are engaged in the processes in Zimbabwe, in the politics of Zimbabwe. Be it in the MDC or whatever. Now, if you wanted to ask me a direct question about my views on the diaspora vote, you should have done so. You didn't. You gave a speech and you said what you thought and what I believe, which probably missed the point. So can we roll back a bit? Then ask me my views on the diaspora vote. Then we start from there.
Okay, let me do it. I know you've spoken about it in Mashingo at the conference end of last year, mm-hmm. and you've written about it as well. So just, you know, what are your personal views on the issue of diaspora voting? Should the diaspora be allowed to vote in the elections?
Yes, at some point the diaspora should be allowed to vote. Right now, the diaspora is already allowed to vote. If you come here and register in Zimbabwe, you can vote. I'm a registered voter here. Now, I'm going to the question of transnational voting
yes.
now, which is a different issue. But mm-hmm. with the transnational vote, there are a lot of things that need to be in place before we get there. So in principle, there's nothing wrong with that, because every country is going towards that. So it's a new trend that people have vote for wherever they are. But with Zimbabwe is in a place where it's not yet ready. Why? Firstly, we don't have the demographics. Where are Zimbabweans? We're just guessing these places with so many Zimbabweans, these places with so many Zimbabweans. People, we don't know wherever they are. Now, number two, we don't have a policy already in place which tells us that, okay, if for example, if we say any country that is about 1,000 Zimbabweans, I'm just hazarding a figure again, or giving a figure so that we can be able to talk. If it has got 1,000 Zimbabweans, then that country, we can put a ballot in that country. Or in terms of funding, how do we fund that particular vote? How do we secure that vote? Right now, we've got people going in the streets people are very paranoid about the votes that are happening in Zimbabwe on the ground, where they are, where they've got polling agents, where they've got observers, where they've got everybody in there. But those elections are contested. Some are contesting elections before they happen. Now imagine we're having a diaspora vote. We're having a transnational vote in a circumstance where nothing is very clear. Nothing is clear. But so at the conference, Chris. At the conference, I said, let's defer that conversation because there was nothing to be resolved at the conference. I did not say that conversation should not happen. We're having that conversation now, and that conversation should be had. But ask your question.
Yeah, but the thing is, for me, is that you said there is no policy. There are a lot of issues. How do we set up the systems? That conversation is not taking place. You said it should be deferred, but deferred until when? Because it seems that ZANU-PF and the government are not interested at all in there being a diaspora vote.
No, that's not correct, actually. That's not correct that we are not interested. The point I'm making is we are struggling for money right now. The country is talking about UNDP funding elections because we could not fund our own elections in 2013. Again, funds are to be sourced from organizations like ELSA. Again, UNDP was kind of involved, and there was a fight between Minister Chinamasa and then Minister Biti over who is going to fund those elections. And these are elections that are happening on the ground in Zimbabwe, with choosing a party that's going to lead on things that affect Zimbabweans right on the ground. Are we going to extend or overextend ourselves at this point when there is no fiscal space to go all the way and try to, you know, to define who is a Zimbabwean, who is supposed to vote? Is my son that I have in the UK with a British woman a Zimbabwean? Are they supposed to vote? They've never stepped in Zimbabwe. They've been there for 20 years. Is the son or the daughter which a Zimbabwean woman has with a Nigerian eligible to vote in Zimbabwe's processes? This is what I'm saying, that there is too many undefined issues to even talk about 2018. So I deferred that conversation at the conference, not forever. I said at the conference, when we were in that resolutions committee, we were not going to talk about it because it wasn't pertinent. We were talking about things that would happen in the year's time.
So how long should it be deferred for?
I said deferred at the conference. After the conference, we can talk about it. Can't we talking about it now?
Yeah, but...
Yes, we are talking about it, but what I was saying is ZANU-PF, the point Chris was making is that the government and ZANU-PF are not talking about it. We personally are speaking about it between us.
Fair.
But it seems as if time and time again the government has taken or refused to take any actions in terms of encouraging, you know, for example, the issue of dual citizenship that had to go to the courts before it was even resolved. And even now, practically, it's very difficult to be a dual citizen in Zimbabwe because the laws haven't been aligned. So if something that's already granted constitutionally in black and white is already taking so much time, how are we my questions are long.
Very, very long. I'm trying to, okay, go on.
I think the podcast, we have a conversation.
I think
if you decide that the questions are in a traditional interview manner, then you might find them a bit long.
It's okay. I'm just being a prat. Don't worry. I'm kidding.
But the point is that, you know, for all intents and purposes, it doesn't seem as if a diaspora vote is something that ZANU-PF is even interested in, or even willing to begin discussing. And, you know, the problems that you've brought up and the problems that you've spoken are all part of electoral reform that's necessary in this country and on a bigger and larger scale. But the fact is that they've been quite dismissive. So I think personally we've really exhausted that point.
I'll need to rebut your point, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, right now we are talking of 2018 elections. There is no snowball chance in hell that we can have a diaspora vote in 2018. Now, if we are going to talk about the diaspora vote, when we are contesting things on the ground towards 2018 already, we are muddying the waters. Let's have 2018 gone. When it comes to 2023, we can build that conversation from there. As I said, there is no fiscal space. 17 million, people are wondering where 17 million, which is involved in the BVR, came from. So
Comrade, I'm just saying, the diaspora vote comes from a section in the new constitution which came in 2013.
If this
government was interested, if the right for the government to ensure that its citizens have conditions to vote can be interpreted as saying that even people in the diaspora are meant to be allowed to vote. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree at all. I very much agree.
I'm actually quoting your own words in your section, you know, so I don't know where you disagree.
That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing.
So my point is that constitution came in 2013. So we can say, could fine, 2018 years was weekend and nothing has happened, but we can't say that let's defer it because we've known all these things from way before and people have been speaking about these things from way before.
Changamire wangu. Zvandirikukumbira kutaura ndezvekuti ndati constitution inoti muZimbabweni wese ane kodzero yokuuya opinda muchirongwa chesarudzo munyika muno handiti mukuzi kuZimbabwe iyo constitution yamataura inozoti an act of parliament should be in place to define. So we are saying the act in parliament, act of parliament which is there right now, the electoral act, yaka define kuti my elections edu anoitikira kuma wards, and it my polling stations are their ward based. Now we don't have wards outside the country. My wards is in Zimbabwe. That's why I'm saying imi mukabva ku Sydney kwa muriko kwa mukauya zvenyu ku Zimbabwe munogona kuvota mu ward. This is what we have right now. So every Zimbabwean ane kodzero yekuvota in those elections. Unlike other countries, even uchigara outside the country, ukauya kunyika kwacho, you would not vote if you had stayed out of that country for this long, for this period. So the constitution ya murikutaura is not putting an obligation on the government of Zimbabwe to follow every Zimbabwean wherever they are with a ballot box. There is nothing like that. So in terms of that, the Zimbabwean government is not in breach of the constitution. But having said that, we're talking of moral principles here. That's why I'm saying, yes, should the Zimbabwean government follow people wherever they are at some point with a ballot? Yes, in principle, but not as a legal obligation. It doesn't have that obligation. It has got obligation to its taxpayers here, people who are resident here, people who are affected by the decisions it makes here.
Okay, let me just butt in here and say that the diaspora, you said it has an obligation to its taxpayers, but the diaspora contributes quite a lot to the economy of this country through remittances.
So and does Anglo-America contributed also?
But the thing is, these people are Zimbabweans, right?
Yes.
So it's different from...
I'm one of them.
Yes, you are one of them. You're based in the UK. Mm-hmm. You probably do contribute to through remittances.
I do.
And these people want to be a part of the political processes as well, not just giving back the through finances from where they are, though. Sometimes
I didn't say there's a problem.
Yes.
You're missing the point. Mm. The point I'm making is the context right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have no choice. But I've got a choice whether to send you money or not. I've got a choice whether to send money. Some people don't even send anything, yeah. Right? Because the government of Zimbabwe cannot do anything about that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to jail. So,
but Comrade Mangwana, yes, how can you associate, you know, being a taxpayer with someone's right to vote? If I'm 18 years old and Zirombe Zwanga and Zatambwenda Basa Bandogaram Zimbabwe no voter, being a taxpayer has nothing to do with it. Even if you don't contribute a single cent to this country's economy, if I sell airtime at the corner of the street and I've never been paid Zimra in my life, I'm still eligible to vote. So how then do you then twist that and turn it into a situation where, you know whether you contribute or you don't contribute from the diaspora makes you a citizen or not, okay, or whether paying Zimra makes you a citizen or not? I don't see anywhere where citizenship rights are associated with the fiscal or the monetary in terms of voting.
Thank you. Yeah, fagauma. Nyaya iripondo yekuti there is no representation without taxation. There's no taxation without representation. And it's as simple as that. United States charges taxation, well, you know, but there's a taxation to all its citizens outside the country. And hence, no matter how long they stay outside the country, they will have to vote. They will be given a vote there. Can atisukuti some Zimbabweans are outside the country are useless. They don't have a role to play. They play a major role. They can actually take this Zimbabwe to the next step. We can actually uplift the progress of this country to the next level. This is the value of the diaspora. We have to leverage that. There's no question about that. Murukumita mistake pandrikuti nini. I don't know where particular person appoint. Tikuti atina fiscal space. Tikuti Zimbabwe in a budget of 4 billion. It's failing to collect 4 billion. And it is not tikuti pa 4 billion amuri kutaurai vanhu vari kutengesa item ivo vari kubadaiswa 4 billion, vari kubadaiswa ma tax or whatever. We are chasing vendors with ma tax forms. Badaro totora mari iyoyo toti ngati spread around the country, around the world, chichaga wherever Zimbabweans are. At the moment, are we saying that's a priority towards 2018? Are we saying that's a priority?
I think we're maybe getting bogged down in semantics. What is a priority towards 2018 is the fact that, you know, giving Zimbabweans their opportunity to vote. And if we agree that there's more than 4 million of us in diaspora, you have to accept that if it's not a priority to you, it's certainly a priority to a lot of people.
But okay,
who you purport to represent as ZANU-PF UK chair.
Let me just say something here. In the sense that, on Comrade Mangwana's point that for 2018, the space actually might not be there to put through in terms of finances. The government already, and it's $50 million for the BVR kits. That's a very contentious issue. If we 17. Are then, is it 17?
Yeah, 17.
Okay.
Which is the contentious one, yeah.
If we are then to include in it the amount for voter awareness, how the policy is going to work for diaspora, for 2018, the period might be so short. But I think we can all agree that that conversation needs to happen. It needs to start happening now, even if it is to be for 2023.
That's not a problem.
It needs to happen at government level. It needs to happen at a policy level. It needs to happen, you know, quite in a structured manner to ensure that these things actually do come out to an eventuality, that one day there is transnational voting. I think one of things...
No, I agree with you, Chris.
One of the things you mentioned... was people selling airtime on the streets and the government's taxing of vendors and that sort of thing. And I want to bring it to the issue of Zim Asset and the ZANU-PF manifesto and what it said it was going to do in the 2013 elections, what it has achieved, and, you know, where we are now. One of the things, and some of our listeners asked this question, is, you know, ZANU-PF promised 2.2 million jobs in 2013, and that is something that it has not delivered on up to now. We are now a year away from the 2018 elections, and in the 4 years now, that hasn't happened. So how can the citizens trust ZANU-PF manifesto and for it to deliver on its mandate when, you know, it's already set this precedent?
It's not a broken promise. They literally, almost every party has had a broken manifesto. The Conservatives in Britain said they would not charge certain tuition fee to universities. They reversed and actually made a policy against that. The Zimbabwean government did not reverse a policy. It's still making an effort. The 2.2 million jobs was aspirational. The government, the ZANU-PF, aspired to produce 2.265 million jobs. And it said how it was going to do that. It said they will create jobs in agriculture, and it said so many jobs. And then it identified so many jobs in mining. Those jobs in agriculture, okay, there was drought, but now we're actually getting people employed in agriculture right now because of commercial farming. A lot of people are there. We are not, I know us urbanites, we don't consider those people in employment, but that's part of the jobs we talked about. Once we put the equipment we need to put in mining and all the support that we need in small-scale mining, it will absorb some of the unemployed people. Yes, come to urban areas. Yeah, we're struggling because the industry is not, our industry is not picking up, and that's much of a struggle. But we cannot say we totally failed there. Aspirational, yes, we didn't meet it. We did not deliver on Zimmer said due to different challenges, including not getting funding. But we have put in the enablers, the infrastructure development which we have done. Come on, let's talk about what was happening in 2013. How much load shedding was happening? Now, how much load shedding is happening in Harare or in Zimbabwe, pretty much? There's a good supply of electricity. That's a deliverable from Zimmer said. We're going to have a bumper harvest. Food and security, cluster 4. We're going to deliver that. And even for 3 years to come. So that's the massive delivering. We said we have the infrastructure development. The dualization of roads is happening. It's not happening fast enough. Yes, we're having potholes. They are areas of failure. They are areas of success. But it's not a total failure. Did Zimmer said achieve 100%? No, it didn't. It will it achieve 100%? No, it won't. We'll review it. It won't, definitely. But it will achieve certain aspects of Zimmer said are achieving.
I don't even know where to begin. Let's focus on the jobs. Instead of creating jobs, there's been a negative growth growth in jobs. Projected growth in all those sectors is based on the aspirations of Zim Asset has almost been the exact opposite of what was intended. So I don't see how you can then turn around and say, oh, we're going to absorb some jobs in the agricultural sector, which are seasonal jobs. There's no new agricultural jobs really being created that are going to provide long-term entertainment.
Employment.
Sorry.
Okay.
Chris just sent me a message and said that realistically, comrade, I know you have to play the party line, but I don't think that anyone, even in their most optimistic state, can really say that this message has even been even successful. Your key drivers for projected growth targets. Your first one was the mining sector, and comparing mining in Zimbabwe from the previous period it was before, all these things happened, including bringing companies into one. All these things. It's now a dead sector comparatively. Agricultural sector. We've had rains and you spoke about command agriculture. It's one of those things that even your own government ministers can't agree on how successful this policy was. So how are you going to have us believe now that it was a bumper harvest when your ministers are contradicting each other left, right, and center? The vice president will say one thing, the minister of agriculture will say one thing, another minister there will say one thing. So until Taona, the grain in the granaries,
why don't we go with what the president says then? The president says it's going to be a bumbavis. So let's forget about the ministers. Let's talk about the head of the executive.
But the president is the one. The president is the one who delivered the Zimmer Asset speech twice, even.
Just to make sure we heard it.
So he was also the one who misled us on Zim Asset. So I don't have any reason particularly to believe him any more than any other regular Zimbabwean.
Because
the president is just a citizen of this country. And Nyaye Kuti, the president, he's just a regular citizen of this country as well.
But Kai, you said you were talking about the executive. You were talking about the split in the executive. I'm only saying, you are saying my ministers are not congruent. So I'm saying, okay, forget about the ministers. Let's talk about the president. And it just pretty much based on your point, which was right, that there's a bit of discord coming from the cabinet. So I'm saying, okay, let's forget about the contestations between the ministers. That's all. That was the point made. But I take your point that you have got a position on the president. That's your entitlement.
I don't have a position on.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, obviously,
it doesn't matter. Go on.
You may call him the first citizen, but he's a citizen just like you and me.
His office
entitles him to certain privileges, but at the end of the day, he's governed by the same constitution that we're all governed by.
I think we're digressing. Okay, let's get on to your point.
I no, the point was made a long time ago is okay. that we can't be overly optimistic and about this
can't.
Document.
No, it's not it's all about the document.
The thing is, going into 2018, we're talking about the coming manifesto and the ZANU-PF manifesto itself. How is anyone, even me, how are you going to convince any of us that ZANU-PF has any solution to the problems that are actually we're facing as a country and as people?
We put enablers in place. That was the key thing that we did. If you look at the whole point, the whole point is that the government is not the one that has to employ you. You know, any government is a civil servant. And we'll talk to reduce. But what we need to do is to put enablers in place so that the economy can boom and so that private sector can boom. Yes, there has to be concordance between private sector and the public sector and the government. Right? So the government's role is to make sure the environment is conducive for private sector to flourish. Did he do
would
that?
Would you say that the environment is conducive for private sector to flourish right now?
No.
And so basically these enablers that the government has put in haven't actually yielded anything.
They are in the process of yielding. That's one. Because obviously Zimbabwe actually has got one of the great communication networks, quite uncensored. I've spent quite a lot of time in Addis Ababa. You cannot access a lot of things. I've spent time in Dubai. You can't access a lot of things, but in Zimbabwe, pretty much you get whatever you want. You can communicate very easily, almost in every part of the country.
Until that one time, our Facebook was shut down for a day.
It wasn't even a day. There was just a lapse in the system. But
we have one TV station in our country.
That's a travesty. That's a travesty.
You talk about.
I've considered that point. That's a travesty. I said that's a travesty. So let's go to the next one. Well, because there are points that we agree on, right? We don't have to debate over those ones. We can debate on the ones that we disagree on. When I concede a point, acknowledge that I've conceded a point. But the thing is,
yes.
You have got a narrative. Even if I concede a point, you would still want to come and give a speech over that narrative, which I understand. It makes a conversation. But there are things that I conceded. I didn't say Zuma said it was an outstanding success. I said they are success stories and they are failures. That I said. And I pointed what I said to be the success stories. If you wanted to tackle me on those. I said we've got better electricity output now than we had in 2013 when we started this Zuma set. Is that fair? Is that true or not?
One could argue, though, on the issue of electricity that it's because a lot of our industries are inactive. So there's not a lot of electricity going to those areas, industrial areas, and then it can now supply homes and that sort of
no,
places.
No, that's not true. But that's a good point, but not a true one in this particular case. Not a valid
And also, our electricity generation is being helped by projects such as the DEMA diesel plant.
Which is part of Zuma set, isn't it?
Yeah.
The emergency plant, controversial as you want to, that's where you're going. Fine, controversial as it is.
If we get into it, I concede that the electricity situation
right.
is certainly
so. Let's
better,
go to the next one. That's a success. Massive success. I think on that one we've got a consensus.
It must be qualified with the fact that
success
that
is always qualified. We're getting into nuances of success. But we're saying Zuma said in this particular case, when it comes to electricity supply, it was a success. Why is electricity supply important? Because industry it runs on electricity and power and energy. So it's an enabler. So can all doctor for a factory manage? Chifurash.
But in the same period that they've sorted the electricity supply out, Avar.
Yes.
There's been deindustrialization in the same period, so it can't be an enabler when the same environment that's creating electricity creation is taking away.
I'm kidding. Unless you have a problem with that, then we can all turn very serious and say, okay, fine. Now let's talk
No.
Okay. So we can have banter. So it's part of banter. Okay. I was saying, tabaku electricity, kuma roads kuna problem. But dualization, its transport network is very important for delivering things. To change my industry, capacity utilization in my industries, it has increased, it has improved. Why? Because the statutory instrument 64 of 2016, capacity much more. A lot of industry average capacity utilization, I think capacity utilization is around 56% to 60%. Yama industries compared to 2013. There has been an improvement, but I'm not saying there's been a boom. No, I'm not, because there's none. Because kana kanga ita boom iwanu inga dawa kabzubwa mintu employment besawa. Yes, wangwana wakupinda mabasa wakupinda wachino part-time. But part-time jobs are part of employment. Mukaenda kuma countries akaita sana America, na US, na iko Australia kwa Moroko. Munaona kuti wanu ita part-time job. Wanu ita wano seenza. Wanu wano seenza nama agency. Wanu ita wano seenza. Oh, that's his work. But Moroko dismiss wana wakuma ningi wangu kutima season of jobs. That's employment. Wanu wakuma prazi wawu. That's part of employment. Tarasema definitions. The first world. Kuna yoma seasonal jobs. And we enter kuma farms as well. Australia particularly. That's employment. Kuma car industry. Kuna wanuti kana wakarisiva in order. Say yes, so many kids. Wanu vabadaiza wanu. Wa absorber. And maka wana dusa my employment figures. Achinda up and down. Obama pay 8.3. Yenzo 8.3 this month. Jones next month ya dropper. Why? Because those are seasonal jobs. Cannot dismiss that employment cheat because I in a job security forever. That's employment.
I don't know. I feel like we can't compare. I don't even know if it's apples and oranges in this situation. I understand the point you're trying to make, but I'm just saying, Guti, it's disingenuous to compare seasonal employment in America to seasonal employment in Zimbabwe, because basari muno aru shanda Zimbabwe seasonally iro ruchengeta muri dzakawanda.
Hello,
I'm here. I think,
yeah, even if it's a Mexican ajamba zvake border or something like that. Saka my point is, I understand what you want to get into the semantics of Zunzacho, but
I am saying
realistic background, I agree with you, but okay. I'm saying in the Zimbabwean context, mm-hmm. casual work it cannot be said to be pushing towards Zim as it is success, which is what you're trying to foist upon us. It's not true. It simply
is not
true.
I'm not foisting anything upon you. I don't know what ndofunga kuti muti tombo titi panapa tirikuirana ndofana kuti ZANU-PF was a total failure. ZINAMASET was a total failure. Tawirana. Ndirikuti inini. Muma and so unsuccessful stories. Tinema success stories. Tama break it down. Tirikuti isusu. Hakuna ungonzi. The 2.265 million jobs. Akanyatsonzi. Ku agriculture. Kuna expect. Kuna employer. First year. Kuna employer. So many. Second year. Third year. Fourth year. And when I want to talk about 2.65 million jobs or 2.2 million jobs, as people say, I want to go ZANU-PF manifesto. It's you know, go to street lingo, you go to Oroja, you go to Sham, you know, Shan, this is what to bash us now. Tatumaka Zokira Maninga Chewayo, even where did not casual workers, Ririmo, and this would try to pin down Manu and Zakawanda, but this would try to put Zaikuti. Tine ma success stories, ne ma not so success stories. Even weku agriculture, waka vuma, ma sectors acho ndiwaya, kune waifana kubatsirwa, ne ma companies anenga a leverage wa, angari ku indigenizwa. That did not succeed. We know ma contestations akaitika na ma controversies in the indigenization of our economy. So that was not a success story. But ndikuti nini, pamuru kutotorezwe ma nadema iwawo, hanti kuna wanaka employee wa kuna nadema wacho. Kwa mtu kwa tuku kutawara kuti Kariba West. Hanti Kariba West kuna wakaya mbleiwe koko. Kwa tuku kutawara kuti wange ya kushanda. Ma thermal stations akasumuka kubla wayo. Kwa mnyati thermal station. Hanti people are being employed by there. The whole chain pamu provider energy. Then it kayaenda kuma industry. But neta usori kutikaenda mumu other infrastructure development, which is road building. Tika pinda mjualization. Kuna wana mbleiwe imomo. Be it seasonal, casual workers or whatever, but those who are employed, kuna jema permanent engineers. But at this kuramba kuti there is thinning, kuna wanu waka buda mabaza, wobo. Especially in the court case, ya ketu wanana wachamisa yeye. Waka zingisa wanu waka wanda baza. But it's not itika. Ndo chikweta chachu, ndo sometimes unungu itna kita, murewa pikwa, a hired gun. So these things happen. But kunema success stories. Did Zim Asset achieve all its intended outcomes? No, it did not. And it hasn't. Will it achieve? Because yes, Rwanda, a year and a half, was in October, kind of, 2013, isn't it? 2018. No, it's off target. And we've said that, and I've said it. But is it a total failure? Not by any means. That's my point.
So what can people do to... What is it that ZANU-PF is going to do to inspire confidence for people in the 2018 election? Because he has said that Zim Asset was not a complete success, that there were a lot of failures, that it's off track, and that, you know, by the time it's supposed to come to completion, they wouldn't have met their targets. So how can people, you know, trust that if we vote in this government, they will then deliver on those targets? Also, okay, in a context, in the sense that right now our government seems to be, or our cabinet and ZANU-PF itself seems to be disjointed. It's something you've written about. You even said, I'll quote you here, no investor worth their money can invest in a country that has a government that is perceived as unstable. And this is the perception that exists right now, where you have ministers, you know, talking, calling out each other in, on different spaces in the media, on social media. So in this context, how can the people of Zimbabwe trust ZANU-PF with leading the country in 2018?
Thank you. A very good question indeed. Did ZANU-PF break a promise? No, it did not break a promise. So ZANU-PF can be trusted because it didn't break a promise. Did ZANU-PF fail to fulfill a promise? It did. Okay? So those are two different things.
I'm excited to hear this. Let me explain myself.
You see, if you say to your wife, I'm going to buy you a dress at the end of the month, or I'll take you on holiday on Valentine's Day, then oh manya manya ocha gamari oda eda ishwaramba kujueni tiko ota mzima wangu shatazokwanisa panapa ndizo kutindi kutore iwe wendiente kunandos ndosha nchaita mukadzi wako mzima wako haati baba waka break a promise. No, anoti baba waka kundikana zvasiyana nekuti iwewe unoti ndichakutora kwakati iwe watora girlfriend uenda nayo apa wa break a promise. That's exactly what mirandipedze point yangu chilemchana ndikapedzisa apa mopinda zvenyu. ZANU-PF yakati yaita manifesto ikakonverta manifesto iyo to a program of action ikataura zvainoda kuita tikaenda tikanosaina maagreements namadeals nechina which were part of that fulfillment ye promise iyoyo. Tikapedza, tikaenda tikanosaina mamwe neRussia. Tikapedza, tikaita problem in the diamond sector. Tikatraya kurectify that problem. Handiti, zvika stola progress because the government yakatorwa kucourt. Those things happen. So you can explain away some of these things. And atikangano kuti tichiri under an embargo, whether we like it or not. I have been avoiding because I ndafunga kuti tino create another debate tikataura nyaya embargo. But I left it alone. But we should never forget that the context ye embargo iripo. Right. So all those things, right? Zvasiyana ndakuchikupai my example ekuti vanhu munopromisa chakati moreverse nokuti mawina. ZANU-PF never reversed anything that he said it will do. Yakawina on a platform ye indigenization. We never could tapedza kuti vanhu votira chiti tino indigenize tobva kuti haticha indigenize. No, we every platform yataiwina nayo, we would go on and try to deliver on it. And hakuna munhu anoti even uchinonyora show uchinonyora zama unenge waka aim 100%. But the fact you have to 60%, I've shared with you, I've shared next exam. I've shared with you, 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 come on. That's the same thing in the electorate. You know, our efforts, you know, our endeavor to fulfill our promises. You know, but no, when we are going to come, I try. Ndandicha panani chitaura nekontext ndiwanzoda kuti ndiite conversation ndisina kutaura one thing chandinoti is one of a major things zvinokonzera retardation of our development kana zvinokonzera some of the failures we're talking about. Corruption iyoyo yes iyoyo inotikuvadzisa semusangano nokuti iyo tinofanira kuitakla with sincerity. And ZANU-PF in Europe yakapasa a resolution on it again, and I think Congress number conference will pass that resolution. That one tikatakla iyoyo. I think tikatosunga chekusunga vanhu vachito convict madara madara akabvisa boots vakanda vanga vakaenda kumajere kwavanogara vakapfeka makaki vasina nduwe tinoita namanyatera zvinofamba Anton Mugo.
Manje makada kusunga madhala ari kurapi munozosara nepati here bro akuru. Vonweza anovaenda.
Ndo iyo munozvando zvinoitika. Problem yekuti kana makuita kana muchipenda munoisa maraini pamunopenda. Mopenda chidzuri chacho. Imimi problem yacho ndeyekuti muri kubata mabhaketi ependi muchita kukupira mucrowd. Tinokubvunzai one by one kuti ningani corrupt activity yakadi ndiudzei une zvake hamuna zvamunokwanisa kutiudza. So we cannot generalize.
But on the issue of corruption, yeah. there are issues. Professor Moyo's case, for example, mm-hmm. where, you know, that has come, that was brought out by the ZACC,
yeah.
and it hasn't been dealt with.
The time
that ZACC went to party headquarters, they were called off.
But
off the top, Comrade Mangwana, off the top of my head, sure. I can think of at least 6 members in cabinet that have had issues with corruption or being arrested for that. I can even think of a member of parliament right now in Harare East who has been caught transporting diesel across Zimbabwe.
Actually, the case was on trial on a Tuesday.
This is not a court of law, and I don't want to say anything.
I can include all
the way to the top, everyone in that government at some point in the last 37 years has had some level of corruption allegation leveled against them. And the point is, magatanga kudakutanga kuinvestigate kumsoro soro muya down amgashaya kubata chunhu mvunhu wese. You don't say I'm painting with a bucket, because yes, maybe you Mr. Mangwana, because you've grown, you have values you picked up in the diaspora that say you shouldn't be corrupt, you are not corrupt, but omwenyu awaka
avasi vamwe vedu chete handiti ndisikuti vanhu vese vari kuzano PFR corrupt. That's a lie. That's not true, and that's unfair to the rest of the members and cadership and leadership. Kuna vanhu vari clean. Let's put it that. Then zvakangofana nawo mukataura nanhu vari kudiaspora nokutaura kuti vanhu vese vari kuZimbabwe madhube. And it, because akatumira mari akarohwa mari, akatumira munin'ina wake akarohwa vaita zvakati akarohwa mari, akatumira shamwari yake kuti aite zvakati akarohwa mari. So we are facing a societal problem. My point, I'm the one who raised the point of corruption. So msatenda kupai shamu yacho kuti ngatigadzese chunhu makutora shamu mauda kundorova nayo. I raised that point. Right. Ndai raise a point because here panapa tirikuda pertinent issues which affect our country. Pertinent issues which retard the progress of our country. So corruption, yes, my point is the government should take leadership in curbing corruption. But corruption is a societal problem right now. I think in a way, if you really take a pen and grab a shamari, not only to talk about corruption, comrade. But the point is, we cannot. We don't want to muddy the waters. The point, and the most important point, as far as I'm concerned, is the government should take leadership in fighting corruption. Then can it also cascade downwards? We cascade downwards, but the government should take leadership.
But so far we can agree that it is not.
No, it's not.
Do you think that they will? Do you think that they have the intention to, at some point, or the political will to actually take action on corruption?
Yes.
So why hasn't it done so?
Maybe. Maybe at some point it's political expedience. Maybe at some point it's lack of evidence. I don't know. I honestly don't. And I just think, Bafanga Zisungwe. And that's what I stand on. Bafanga Zisungwe. So you get you clean.
I think.
All right, no, comrade. There, I can agree. I can agree with you. I have to be dashing very soon.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know. Are you running in 2018?
I haven't thought about it.
Comrades, 2018 is less than 18 months away. The elections are just now.
No problem.
Ground is ground. Because
Really?
Like what we're always told is if we need to throw our heads in the ring
very
and not
fast.
Not kuhungu,
oh,
to
oh.
be shouting from the
terraces,
mountains.
I just want to. I know. So I'm not I expect it. My decision making. Thank you.
All right. No, it's I enjoyed our talk. Unfortunately, you need to find a different party. Maybe.
Ndijoine popcorn party munhu murume mukuru akaita seni anopfeka magirazi achichekerera ndepo ndowandikwa ndiri kupopcorn party handiite
mungotangawoyenyuvamwevenyu
vakatangavokuti kagrosa here aiwano hatidaro musangano wakatisunungura musangano unezvido zvavanhu musangano unodiwa navanhu musangano watisvitsa patiri panapa musangano waita kuti nyika ive pairi pakanaka kudai ndewezano PF imomo ndoma tichagara tiri tichavaka dendere redu imomo namazano ndatoitira imomo ndatenda hangu.
No, thank you very much, Comrade Mangwana. You've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba. You can find me at Chris Charamba on all social media. Comrade Mangwana, people online, where can they find you? I know you write for The Herald.
They can find me on Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, literally.
Okay, what is your Twitter handle?
I don't know. At Nick Mangwana. Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Comrade, you need to start tweeting seriously because kuna warume waru no Twitter mazwano. We've got ministers that I think are just being paid to tweet.
you know, your sarcasm will get you far. But the point taken, I'll take that on board.
Thanks. Honestly, because for...
I've taken
right,
the point,
thanks.
Yeah.
I'm Tawanda BT, and you can catch me at Henry BT on all podcasts
Tawanda,
and all
sorry.
Social platforms. Tawanda Henry BT, I go by Henry online. Because it's my Christian name.
You can ask.
No.
Okambo gara ku UK here na comrade Tawanda bit Henry.
No, I'm not mugara ku UK, but I've got family there in South End. I've been to visit a few times.
Ah, I see. Okay.
I've been to visit a few times.
You see, by the end of this conversation, you are now a comrade.
No, he's a comrade.
You see, that's the beauty.
Because he sounded patriotic enough, so he deserves it.
You see, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of conversation, guys. That's
exactly. You earn your stripes. I know.
All right. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Thanks,
comrade. Enjoy it. Cheers, man. And now.
Capital 263.